来来来来来来来来来来来。Shabbat Shalom, everyone. One of the things I neglected to mention when we were thinking about celebrating this community is it's wonderful that Rabbi Maltzman is here as well for us to celebrate together now through the story, the whole ongoing saga that is called Shalom. So, I want to tell you a little bit about a very interesting Shabbat dinner that I had not long ago. I was invited to someone's house for Shabbat, and we all got into a very interesting conversation with a young man at the table, and the conversation centered around the subject of the ongoing legacy of racism in this country and our struggles with this story. Now, this young man, Jewish guy, law student, brilliant guy, and he, being a law student, I suppose, he liked a good sparring match, and since I never shy away from a good sparring match, we got into a very interesting discussion. So the subject actually that came up was my apparently controversial sermon that I gave on Kol Nidre about the need for the Jewish community to recognize the presence of white privilege in the Jewish community, and about the need that we have as Jews, if we are given any kind of privilege or power, that we have an obligation to use that privilege or power to fight injustice and to fight the pernicious problem of racism in our society. So that was the topic, and he asserted a bunch of things that pushed back on my point in the sermon, and it was so interesting. I'm going to share what he said with you, if I can, this morning. He said the following. He spoke first on behalf of his millennial generation to those of us who were not millennials at the table, which was everybody else. And he said that we in the older generations are unfairly burdening his generation with our narratives of the ongoing problem of racism and the legacy of slavery in our society. And he said that his generation is particularly extraordinary in that they are uniquely able to, unlike other earlier generations, to, when they encounter somebody else, they just see them as a person. They don't necessarily see their color or their sexual orientation or anything. They just see them as a human being. And the problem begins when we in the older generations demand that they, when upon seeing somebody, for example, who is of color, that to see their history of either slavery or oppression projected onto them. And if we could only not burden them with that kind of story, they would be freer to move past the legacy of slavery, etc. In other words, so he is saying that if you are a person of color and I, a millennial, meet you, I'm just going to see you for who you are, because that's what millennials do. And if I am forced to see you through the lens of the fact that your ancestors were slaves, that's going to create a barrier and a separation that's not natural to us millennials, right? Us millennials. And that can even lead to more problems and further oppression. So here was my reaction to that argument. I said, huh. And then I said, it's too bad that a person of color is not at this Shabbat dinner table. Because here's what I imagine that a person of color would say at this Shabbat dinner table. They would say that anybody who claims not to see color is actually speaking from their privilege. And that it is disingenuous to assume that anybody is going to be separated from those things. That's just not how society works. Of course, he pushed back on that, and actually there was one baby boomer woman who agreed with him, and so they both pushed back and said, now you are being elitist. that by laying on this idea of privilege, that I'm the one being elitist. This is so fascinating to me, because I actually teach on the subject of racism in the Jewish community a lot. And I always, in fact, I'm sure I will today, I always get pushback from when I teach this. It's kind of one of those third rail topics, which I don't mind talking about. But the problem is, usually the people who push back are over a certain age. They represent a certain older generation that are not as comfortable with these ideas. It's usually the millennials who, when they hear me teach this, not only agree with me, but they think, I don't go far enough in talking about racism in the Jewish community. So here was a young millennial guy who was at once invoking the things that are really extraordinary about the millennials, but then making a very unusual point, and I think a very important point for us to think about, which is why I'm bringing it to us, to our community, to process. Right? He has a point in that his generation really is. I really think that millennials and even younger Generation Z, all the more so, are much more gifted than we all are, those of us who are not millennials, at just embracing diversity, embracing fluidity, embracing that everybody is human first and all the other things are superficial. I think that really is a dimension of the younger generations, which I think is an incredible blessing. But can any of us, no matter what our generation, can we ever actually free ourselves from the history of oppression in our society? Can we ever really free ourselves from prejudice, from our own implicit biases that we have been shaped by being a part of this culture? Can we ever truly, just by an act of will, free ourselves from systemic racism and inequality in our society? I don't think so. I really don't think that just as an act of will, we can ever do that. So in this week's Parsha, see, I'm linking it up to the Torah. In this week's Parsha, we have, of course, the beginning of the career of Abraham, and we have his initial journeys, his wanderings, and one of his early journeys that he takes is he goes to Mitzrayim. He goes to Egypt, and I'm going to skip all the whole interesting story of what happens in Egypt and just go to the end. It says that he left kaved b'mikne u'b'kesef u'b'zahav, that he left weighed down in wealth, rich with cattle and gold and silver. That's what it says. He left with all of these good things. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Aryeh of Opt has an interesting commentary on this, a very powerful commentary. He said, yes, Abraham left Mitzrayim, even though it was a very difficult ordeal. He left a rich man. But it wasn't just material wealth that he left with. He left, when it says he left with kesef v'zahav, with silver and gold, what that is actually a symbol of is he left with ahava and yira. What do those words mean? Love and fear, love and awe of God. Even though it was a difficult ordeal, he liberated these sparks of holiness, of ahava and yira, by having gone through that ordeal, you see. Now, he said, compare Abraham to Lot, his nephew, who also was in Mitzrayim and left. What does it say about Lot? He left with sonu bakar v'ohalim. He left with flocks and cows and tents. He didn't leave with kesef v'zahav. He didn't leave with silver gold, with ahava and yira. And what do we know? Where did Lot end up settling? Yeah, see it? Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The place of sin, the place of corruption, of moral degradation, because he didn't take those gifts from the experience with him. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Leib teaches this, he is deriving his wisdom from the Kabbalistic tradition, which talks about this beautiful idea that everywhere in the world there are sparks of holiness from the original divine unity that have been shattered. And that those sparks are hidden in klipot, which means husks, right, of impurity, of unholiness, of difficulty, of suffering. And the role of the Jewish people in the world through our mitzvot and our ma'asim tovim, through our deeds that we do in this life, is that we are liberating the sparks from the husks. And that, my friends, is what we mean by tikkun olam. That is how we repair the world. We are liberating those sparks. But we have to enter into the place of the husks, right, of the difficulty, of evil itself. You can't separate the holiness from the evil. That's one of the difficult, powerful teachings in Judaism. And so when all of Bnei Yisrael went to Mitzrayim and were enslaved for 400 years, what does it say about us when we all left Mitzrayim? What did we take with us? We took silver and gold. We took spoils of Egypt. So just like Abraham, we also brought forth the sparks. We bore the scars of 400 years of slavery, but we also brought up these sparks of Ahavat and Yirah as a people this time. And that became the blessing of the Jewish people that enabled us to receive the Torah and to then transmit this blessing to the world through the generations of our people, through thousands of years. So, you know, I think what this young man perhaps might be doing is thinking about the now and sort of translating this idea into the American experience, is translating the slavery that has existed in our society and thinking of that just simply as a husk, that if we just made it go away, if we stopped remembering the husk, then there would just be the spark there. Like we're putting the husk on top of the spark. But that's not how we see things in Judaism. Think of it. This is Pesach. This is exactly what we do at the Seder table. In every generation, you have to see yourself as if you yourself were the slave in Mitzrayim. We have to keep the memory of the difficulty, of the suffering alive. Why? Because only through knowing it ourselves can we then transform it into the spark and liberate the spark by understanding it. It gives us the capacity for compassion and a desire for justice that we can then bring to others who continue to be oppressed in the world, like people of color in this society. The Jewish way is never, ever to erase our identification with the past. We don't just teach the past as an abstraction that maybe you learn about in school, but don't, God forbid, you should see it in your human interactions. We don't erase it. We live it. That's what Abraham did when Abraham went down to Mitzrayim, according to to Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Leb. That he served as a signpost for all future generations. Never forget the difficulties of the journeys that we go through as individuals and in our lives. Never forget those things, because that's the only way we're going to translate them and transform them into blessing. It is indeed an incredibly difficult thing for us to do. It's hard being Jewish. It's hard for millennials, but all generations, to deal with the burden of the past, because the burden of the past is so often so painful. But it is only when we acknowledge that that we can then transform it into the good and into justice. That is the potential that lives in millennials and in all of us. We have so much strength to liberate so many sparks, each and every one of us in our lives. And may we liberate as many sparks as we possibly can in our journeys in the days and years ahead. Lord knows the world needs those sparks.